You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Hello and welcome to the Daily Nationalist. This is Matthew Raphael Johnson, and it's the 10th of July, 2025. For the last week and a half or so, I've had COVID for the third time. I've been out of it. I haven't been really keeping up with a lot of things. I have caught up. I'm a little bit better. I kept up with my schedule of talks and everything. I don't know if you guys could tell or not, but I'm definitely getting better. And I realize that with all of my stress on foreign affairs on this particular show, I have to deal with the, ICE protests and the death of America. And the possibility of removing California from the U.S., which started as an actual movement back by the left in 2016, shouldn't surprise anybody that this massive and often very violent community of illegal immigrants from Mexico and Point South would be difficult to dislodge for a whole lot of reasons. But what started as, and actually I've gone to many different sources in this case. Countercurrents has been extremely helpful in catching me up. Spencer Quinn and Greg Johnson and people like that. As well as a few other places. But what started really as the Los Angeles County Home Depot escalated into what is the least surprising civil war in American history. For a while there, thousands of rioters, many of them illegal, many of them parts of leftist movements, many of them white women, attacking anything they could, knowing full well that they're not going to get in trouble for it, surrounded the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Detention Center, ICE, launching explosives, everything that they could possibly do, waving American flags, waving Mexican flags, which doesn't make any sense. That's been fully supported by the regime at every level, no matter what. Now, it also shouldn't surprise you that the regime's media said that maybe there's either no protests going on or that they're totally peaceful. Again, for the second time, you could see things burning in the background while they're saying that these are peaceful demonstrations. They did admit, of course, they blamed on Donald Trump for trying to stop it, bringing in 700 Marines. By June 10th, I think, that was about 4 days into it, there were fewer than 100 people who had been arrested, but that went up to about 550 in a few days, and to this day, no one has been killed. I want to quote Spencer Quinn, who I'm indebted to for catching me up here. 5 years ago, the rioting mob's casus belli was a fentanyl overdose of apprehended career felon George Floyd. Today, it's President Trump's standing deportation order of illegal aliens, especially criminal aliens. Clearly, Trump has learned his lesson from his first term, and is taking these disturbances more seriously this time. He acted swiftly and assertively as soon as possible to stop the riots. He also has the backing of the American public. Hence our simmering civil war, two armed factions of the American elite stand opposing each other in the streets, This is unlike the summer of Floyd, in which the left ran rampant across a number of American cities. Of course, back then, Trump was preoccupied with COVID. He had numerous political imbroglios and didn't know what to do, and was reeling from the Charlottesville rally. Of course, which I was in. It was a successful flex for the left. These days, however, thanks to Trump's acquisition of a backbone, the leftist threat isn't quite what it was. So what occurred, a local city councilman saw ICE agents setting up a staging area outside of the Home Depot. I think it was Paramount, California. And of course, people immediately, you know, videoed, said come and protest. They wanted to say it was peaceful. I think they were well aware that it wasn't going to stay that way. The left doesn't do things peacefully. It takes power at the barrel of a gun throughout its entire existence. The Democratic Socialists of America, the Party of Socialism and Liberation, Black Lives Matter, mostly white people and Jews. I even heard that local teachers' unions have been distributing masks, food, and water to the rioters. On the left, again, there is no... there's a refusal to disagree on this amongst the left. You had Kamala Harris, Maxine Waters, and this disgusting Mexican president, I put that in quotes, Claudia Sheinbaum, all supported the protests in every way they possibly could. I don't think anything is quite as obnoxious as Gavin Newsom, who's a pig at the best of times, but is an enemy of his own state and his own people. Of course, don't forget, California is a mostly non-white state. L.A. is overwhelmingly a non-white city and county. But, of course, these things don't occur and occur consistently without planning and without money. The escalation was very quick. Of course, there's always big money behind them. There were a number of organizations following this money. There were pallets of bricks that were sent to the rioters. Even high-grade gear, you know, masks and being dispersed among the rioters. And whoever was behind this, of course, needs to be arrested for insurrection. Now, there's some disagreement. The Gateway pundit thinks that it's Neville Singham, who is really a vile human being, that he is funding much of this. That's probably true. A national conservative suggests it's the communists Leah Greenberg and Ezra Levin who created No Kings. So Marxists are still very much alive and well behind all of this, not to mention Christy Walton of Walmart. Of course, it's all three. What Quinn finds interesting, and so do I, is that there are not many Hispanic organizations involved here. Other than BLM, it's mostly Jewish organizations. The House Oversight Committee has been following the money from the rioters back to their sources. Singham has been, I don't know if he's been subpoenaed yet, but, you know, using federal forces is absolutely correct here. Don't forget that in most American major cities, police departments have been cut at least by half over the last 15 years. You remember when they used to say under Obama that crime is going down? Crime wasn't going down. It just was because there were fewer cops out on the beat. Even in certain places as the gang violence went up. So Pete Hegseth was sending units to try to head off some of the No Kings protests elsewhere. You know, I've always had an interest. I've said this before. I've always had an interest in rioters. I used to worry about when I was in grad school about Northern Ireland and South Korea. South Korea is an interesting case because they're all Korean. You don't have a lot of property damage. They don't burn cars or anything else. It's a back and forth between them and the police. It's a totally different story in Northern Ireland. But violence where you're looting shops and things, that doesn't help anyone's cause. The National Guard can't be called out if they're not permitted to use their weapons. We all know that the defense of property is a minor matter. Criminals matter far more. Property can be protected only so long, as Paul Craig Roberts said, as a criminal stealing and damaging it are not harmed. So long as they're supporting the leftist agenda, of course. Well, in real terms, as of course many of us have known for a very long time, Hispanics have taken back California through migration. Didn't have to happen. But like most Western European countries, they permitted it to happen. It was a deliberate policy. California is a central source of leftist influence. The U.S. would be much better without it. The Newsom says that these immigrant invaders are his people, his community. Well, he probably couldn't be elected without them. Paul Craig Roberts wants to try to claim that, I mean, he's being sarcastic, but they have some kind of squatter's rights, adverse possession. Adverse possession is a doctrine that allows a person to acquire a title to real property by continuously occupying it without the owner's permission for a certain defined period. That non-enforcement of borders creates squatter's rights. And that's how bad things have gotten, is that's actually a workable theory since there's no action against them. And courts would include citizenship as a right of adverse possession. It would be extremely easy for the U.S. at any level to stop the flood of immigrants. I've been saying this since college, but they have no desire to. We're going to see why. Why are all these multi-billionaires so concerned with having these illegals? And I remember talking about the border of 5 years ago, maybe. Maybe even in a paper where I said when I looked into it, the economics of it, I was shocked about just how dependent the American economy or the blue chip stocks, the major conglomerates, how dependent they are on migrant labor. They can pay them whatever they want, and they really don't have any recourse. But not having a border means you don't have a country. Which, of course, is fine by the left. Now, let's keep in mind this is a small area of Los Angeles, and also keep in mind that the Hispanic gangs have pushed the blacks out of there. They're usually opponents in these cases, but this should have been expected. This should have no bearing on the enforcement attempts. Anyone who tries to stop it, especially physically try to stop it, needs to be hauled in front of a court, in front of a judge. And whatever happens from there happens. There was always this theory that, like European migrants in the 1920s and 30s, that they're just going to become enculturated. And you couldn't possibly protest that immigration at the time. So how can you possibly protest immigration over the last 30 years? And of course, the answer is very simple. This isn't the same country it was before. It's a leftist Marxist hole. It has no bearing on the U.S. of the 1920s. White people aren't what they were before. People in general, the migrants weren't what they were before. You have an atheistic, materialist country bringing people in rather than at one time a Christian one. They didn't demonize white Americans in the 20s. Well, it wasn't that long ago, under President Reagan, and I vaguely remember this as a kid, but he listened to what the major, the ConAgras and Archer Daniels Midland had to say. They are very dependent on migrant labor. California fruit and vegetable growers, U.S. chicken processors, that allegedly American citizens didn't want to undertake, or at least not for that much money. And they forced Reagan to amnesty a whole bunch of illegals up to that point. And that's where the ball started. That's how it started rolling. Paul Craig Roberts says this. It's impossible to have a nation without borders as a nation dissolves into a Tower of Babel, an ever closer fate of all Western countries. The U.S. no longer consists of European ethnicities and enculturated American blacks. Today, there are large and growing populations of Hispanics, Asians, Arabs. The language and religions of the country is decaying. The religious base of the country is decaying. There's no doubt that the U.S. is transforming into a Tower of Babel. You wouldn't have said that if this were 1925. Now, as we all probably knew, look at the pictures. There's white faces claiming California for the immigrant invaders. So in that sense, that for those people, America's already lost. I don't think that the deportation of millions is impossible. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. And regardless of what may happen, people are predicting one day they'll just be given amnesty. As soon as the establishment gets rid of Trump, the border will be reopened. And of course, this always should remind us of Jean Raspail and his prediction for the fate of the Western world. The European ethnicities, in an artful phrase from Paul Craig Roberts, have pissed away their existence. They are endangered species. Let me reinforce this. I want to quote Spencer Quinn from Countercurrents. Trump may seem radical with his immigration stance, but he's radical only when compared to his predecessors, including, sadly, Ronald Reagan, whose short-sighted amnesty of 2.7 million Hispanics in 1986 arguably kicked off the Latinization of America. By objective standards, however, Trump is not radical at all. He's mild. He's sticking to the law and prioritizing the deportation of illegal criminals such as gangbangers, drug dealers, and human traffickers, which would presumably make Mexican neighborhoods safer. He doesn't care if you came here from Mexico, so long as you came here legally. There's nothing chauvinistic about any of this in his rhetoric. He is implicitly representing white interests, but he also represents the interests of the non-whites who came to live historic Eurocentric standards of civilization. And this is where Trump diverges from the dissident right. Despite the right-wing Avenger persona he has taken since dodging a bullet a year ago or so, this is the way Mexicans react to a very mild and reasonable immigration pushback, and there's no chance of them being pleased. Of course they don't care about this. They don't have the slightest concern about the white interests or the desires of whites to have a safe, orderly, crime-free country. To them, whites are outsiders, not worth considering. Thus, the only way to settle accounts with them is to become every bit as unreasonable as they are. And as I hate to say it, fight them tooth and nail in the streets. Well, I've done my part. But it gets worse. Law passed, I think this is from the same article, law passed in both houses of the California state legislature, overwhelmingly passed, by the way, now makes the entire state a sanctuary state for illegals. The bill was 54. At one point, it allowed for cooperation with ICE if the alien has been convicted of certain crimes. But just last year, the city of Los Angeles passed an ordinance which banned any cooperation between ICE and city law enforcement. City Councilman Hugo Martinez voted in favor of it and claimed that 1 in 10 Los Angeles residents are illegals. If that's true, then the city is home to almost 400,000 of them. And apparently, the residents like it that way. Or at least they're told to. Now, when I read Gregory Hood, who was writing for American Renaissance, it did remind me a little bit of Kosovo, which 100 years ago was 90% Serbian. And it was an explicit racial policy to fill it with Islamic Albanians. Los Angeles was almost entirely white at the start of the 20th century. The white share of the population fell from 83% in 1960. It was 83% in 1960. It had been almost 100% at the turn of the century. 1970, 61%, and below 50 by 1980. So way beyond. The Census Bureau says half the city is Hispanic. That non-Hispanic whites, or whites, comprise a mere 29% of residents. And the same thing for the state, is really 33.3%. So there had been talk about partitioning California, the state of Jefferson in the north and California to the south, which would immediately be third world. The north would probably would not be. But the idea of secession, which the left started talking about in 2016, it didn't take much to convince me of this. Craig Johnson gave a whole bunch, this is back in 2016, said the only thing that the left was saying properly in that derangement syndrome when he was first elected was their California secession from the rest of the country. And what would it mean? The Democratic Party would lose its lock on 55 electoral votes, more than 20% of the 270 they would need to win the presidency. We would lose around 40 million citizens, plus uncounted millions of illegals. Only one-third of California citizens are classified as white, although we have to remember that includes large numbers of Jews. One in six American Jews lives out there, in the entertainment media, pornography, etc., and other non-European Caucasians. Of course, all of the illegals are non-white, of course. He's calling it Calexit, like Brexit. That would mean that as a country, the United States non-white population would be reduced to by about 28 to 29 million, not counting illegals, more than a quarter of our non-white citizens, whereas our white citizens would be reduced to, by only 11 or 12 million, about 1/20 of the overall white population. Although many of these whites are worthless to begin with. However, an independent California might become a magnet for non-whites and white leftists from the rest of America, as he calls it, an abscess draining poisons from our body politic, which is an excellent metaphor. They would flock there for diversity, decadence, and free stuff. And when California turns into North Mexico, who would simply extend the Great Wall of Trump to keep them from coming back. The ongoing exodus of sensible whites from California would accelerate anyway, which has been going on for a long time to begin with, and that could only improve the rest of America politically and demographically. It didn't take much to convince me of a Calexit. Barry Goldwater had something to say about that back in 64, 65. I simply don't care. But while the arrests and deportations have grabbed headlines, what seems to be happening, President Trump is also running a separate complementary mass deportation program, one that, of course, I love. But remember we talked about the massive drug crackdown in the Philippines. It turns out most of the either the addicts or the dealers, they turn themselves in. Once they realized that the state was serious, and they weren't going to be getting away with it anymore, they took care of that themselves. So the mass deportation program is one that encourages aliens here unlawfully to go home voluntarily. And the plan is more successful, or so I'm told, than anyone could have imagined. This comes from the Center for Immigration Studies. Let's talk about, let's use like 15.5 million illegals in the U.S., which is outrageous. 50% increase within the Biden administration. You had Alejandro Mayorkas, a Jew, a disgusting human being, ignored the law, ignored congressional detention mandates, and ushered millions of illegals into the U.S. But this was the foundation of the Donald Trump presidency. It was the foundation of it in 2016, and it's a foundation now. It's the cost that they are imposing on schools, hospitals, housing, and essential government services in cities and towns across the U.S. now to a second term. They cost a fortune to maintain. They don't pay taxes. So he has his team, so-called border czar, Tom Homan, Kristi Noem, to drive this population down and to restore some credibility to the immigration system. Now, there's one element that you're talking about, the arrests and deportations of aliens unlawfully here, which is kind of the worst first strategy. The other track is encouraging them to self-deport. Because if there's such a deportation program, and it's as harsh as it is, although it's quite mild, but they think it, they've been told it is, going home might not be a terrible idea. And this seems to happen more, and I think about the Philippines. The minute they crack down on the same thing for El Salvador, the minute they really crack down, so many of the weaker criminals turn themselves in. And you have a huge migration back to Mexico, which is or wherever they're from. I don't have to go into Mexican immigration laws. People coming up from Guatemala or Honduras, how harsh that is. There's been a lot of lies spoken about it, but it's not secret doctrine. It's out there. Mexico's, you get over the Mexican border, you get over it illegally is to get shot. They do it anyway. Although with Sheinbaum there, I'm sure it's more common. But initially, right after his inauguration, DHS had to ensure all the aliens to register and prosecute those who don't comply. Then there was a multi-million dollar ad campaign warning migrants not to enter illegally or alternatively to leave voluntarily now and possibly have an opportunity to return and enjoy our freedom and live the American dream, which is strange, but I guess it's how you put it. They even created an app that was done in the Biden administration aliens could use to notify the U.S. government of their intent to depart. The very fact that Trump was elected at all should say something to illegals throughout the country. But California seems to be the nodal point of it. Not to mention financial incentives, which of course a lot of people have spoken about in the past. A stipend of $1,000. In lieu of the physical deportation, which can cost, I don't know, $17,000 per person on average. But the way to track the program, you could check employment numbers. There was a Wall Street Journal article calculated the decline in the immigrant population of 773,000 in the first 4 months of the second Trump term. The Post says 1 million foreign-born workers have exited the workforce since March. Now, the Post refuses to come to the proper conclusion. It's a weakening of the labor supply, they say. But what do you think happened? You actually have to explain this to economists. Hourly wages accelerated, rising by almost 1% over the month, just in 1 month, to $36.24 by May. Because of these illegals leaving, maybe some of these jobs whites might want to actually take. I'm not sure who did it before the Mexicans got here, but they certainly beat inflation. You have to explain to economists that when you have fewer workers, wages go up. Yeah, they have a tough time with that. It's like in Great Britain, where even mainstream sources are talking about the massive increase in rents throughout the country, and incredibly in London, due exclusively to migration, legal or otherwise. And I have to actually explain this to people. Fewer illegal immigrants, businesses have to raise wages to attract workers. That means more serious people are going to work these jobs. Poor whites have no problem doing this if they think they're going to be paid properly. But they're only going to leave if they're convinced that the administration is serious about these arrests. And all of these businesses that are very dependent on these migrants need to be hit too. So it shouldn't really be a shocking thing. Dwight Eisenhower did something similar in 1954. 10 aliens left voluntarily for each one arrested. The registration program after 9/11 also drove it. Yeah, maybe 15.4 million, 16 million illegals may be tough to picture being removed by one agency, DHS or ICE or whatever. But no, if it's self-imposed, they'll get the message. They'll leave on their own. And I've seen this work elsewhere. There is some very good reason to believe, and the very fact that wages are going up, which, of course, you know, completely flabbergasts the economists at the Washington Post. It's only because illegals have been leaving on their own. I'm going to quote someone else who I should be quoting more in these things. Ed Dutton, who's been writing on this stuff for a very long time. Hispanics have essentially set up a separate society within L.A. and within California. A separate society. There's no integration. They've maintained their own language. They've maintained their own customs. They have maintained their own food. They have maintained basically a Mexican, or more broadly, at least a South and Central American enclave within the U.S. in which there is no integration. When you're a minority anywhere, it tends to elevate your sense of ethnocentrism. Of course, they're not a minority. They're actually a majority there, but the things that elevate ethnocentrism are stress, and particularly mortality salience, but also feeling excluded from the broader society. These elevate ethnocentrism, they elevate religiosity, the two being related, of course. There ends up being a strong feeling of camaraderie among fellow Mexicans in this place, and among just fellow Hispanic Americans, whatever you want to call it. Latin Americans now send people in to what they regard as their area that they have conquered, their enclave, and you could see the result is that they perceive it as an attack on them, as an attack on everybody, an attack on all Latin Americans. It's very basic, what he calls evolutionary response. And one of them, a city councilwoman, who, of course, Hispanic, actually said that if you attack one of us, you attack all of us. And they don't care about the fact that these people have broken the law. They don't care about the fact that these people are in the country illegally. The point is that these people are part of their ethnic group. As far as they're concerned, the white Americans are irrelevant. They're just simply an invader. I quoted that directly from the Quinn article. It's like rallying against the deportations, waving a Mexican flag that they don't want to go back to, raises the self-esteem of low-income Mexicans. There's the obvious contradiction of professing loyalty to a nation you fled from and hostility towards the country that takes you in. But if whites can deport some Mexicans, as Quinn says, they could potentially deport any number of them. And this will ultimately depopulate Mexican-dominated areas in the U.S., ultimately lead to a loss of territory, at least in their minds. Well, that's too bad. You see, Trump won. He was quite naive about this kind of thing. He's not naive now. I don't think this is a shock to Trump, which is why he sent so many units into many cities. There was no real protest in Pittsburgh, thank God, but in many others. Again, mostly white women. So now, of course, there was also some talk, and there's a lot of disinformation out there, that the Department of Homeland Security said that it was reversing a previous guidance that agents were not to conduct immigration raids at farms, hotels, and restaurants. Well, that's where the illegals tend to be. That's not what Donald Trump said. Officials from ICE, including its Homeland Security Investigations Division, told agency leaders in a call on Monday that agents must continue conducting immigration raids at these businesses. New instructions were shared in an 11 a.m. call to representatives from the 30 field offices around the country, so it is absolutely certain. But the billionaires are the only ones who are really worried about this. If you remember, when Donald Trump first declared his candidacy, I don't remember if it was 2015 or 2016. This was 2015. And the minute he said something about stemming illegal migration, corporate America started the attack on him. I think it was Sears that first began the, you know, irrational, hysterical attacks. It's corporate America at war with him. So whatever you've heard about this is, as far as I know, false. It's not a reverse, you know, there is a reversal of the exemption policy. And what the White House said said there'll be no safe spaces for industries who harbor violent criminals or purposely try to undermine ISIS efforts. Which is, you know, the least they could have said. ICE has been under tremendous pressure, and they need a lot more money. They need to ramp up arrests to fulfill Trump's goal of enacting the largest domestic deportation operation in history. Something that I think we're all very good with. The minimum was 3,000 arrests a day. And if they have to deputize more people, I have no problem with that. So you have billionaires in the agricultural, hospitality industries, that kind of thing, to exempt them. Same thing that happened to Ronald Reagan. But that's not what he was elected for. So much of the American economy is dependent on migrant workers. What the left doesn't seem to understand is that if these illegals were to disappear, wages would go through the roof. And not just in low area jobs too. Everything would change. No, keeping wages low, of course, is in the interest of the billionaires. And when you're illegal, you could do whatever you want. So whatever talk there was about this exemption is simply not true. Brooke Rollins, the agriculture secretary, was one of the people to put this forth in the first place. The farming industry had raised the farming industry. These are the same people who destroyed the family farm over the last 50 years. Farming industry, meaning a couple of agribusinesses in Omaha or Kansas City. These aren't farmers. Farming industry that relies on these people. Well, they may have to sell a vacation home when these people are gone. Now, I don't believe the NBC poll, this is a couple weeks ago, 51% of Americans approve of Trump's immigration and border security policies. I think that's nonsense. I think it's much higher than that. I also think that his approval rating, anything from the regime is garbage, including how many votes Kamala Harris received. So using the same language, using the same sentence structure, all of these regime outlets try to turn Americans against the very same policies they voted for. No, this is something that a very strong state is necessary for. I don't need to remind anybody that Trump won a landslide election in far greater numbers than was reported on promises to secure the border and deport illegal aliens. That's why any normal person voted for him in 2016. But, as I've said 1,000 times on this show, the left works with violent criminals. They are violent criminals. This is why whenever a country cracks down on crime successfully, the Philippines, El Salvador, at least during the Biden administration and Obama administration, they would condemn it. They did it over and over again. They're always defending violent criminals illegally present in the country. These are their people. Media outlets pretending that there's no riots going on. Even claiming that flying the Mexican flag is just a pride in their heritage. But it doesn't seem to have any impact on his ratings, even if you go by establishment numbers, which I think are nonsense. 20% of voters say that that's their number one issue. The only other issue that comes close is the economy. And as the violence have increased, his numbers have only gone up. 54% of Americans approve of Trump's deportation policy. According to the CBS poll, I don't believe that either. The Daily Caller says 53% of Hispanic voters back increasing the pace of Trump's deportations. That does not surprise me. We're talking about Hispanics who have been in America for a very long time, who are embarrassed by a lot of this stuff. And I think that has gone up since then. 53% of Hispanic voters back increasing the pace of Trump's deportations. A much higher number supports it in general. But that's a generational matter. Now, the Pew Research Center, also very tainted to me, claims that 32% of Americans approve deporting all illegal immigrants, 51% approve of deporting some of the most violent ones, and of that 51%, 97% support deporting the violent ones, or criminals, those who have been convicted of something. I don't believe polls. I don't believe election numbers. I don't believe anything coming from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. So I don't believe this. Use your head. Logic is far more important. And so the support for Donald Trump's policies is far higher than the regime. They're not gonna, even if they came to that conclusion, they're not gonna say it. Transportation Secretary, Sean Duffy said that states don't cooperate with the federal government's deportation efforts will not receive funding to rebuild their infrastructure. This is something that Ronald Reagan did to force the states who didn't raise the drinking age to 21. There were a handful of states, North Dakota, there was a few others. And he stopped their highway assistance until they did it. And he said the Department of Transportation will not fund rogue state actors who refuse to cooperate with federal immigration enforcement. And to cities that stand by while rioters destroy the transportation infrastructure, don't expect a cent from DOT either. Follow the law or forfeit the funding. Well, that just makes sense. Truth Social, Trump said, I see agents do all in their power to achieve the very important goal of delivering the single largest mass deportation program in history. This isn't Trump's fault. This is the fault of everyone from Ronald Reagan on who allowed this to happen. People like me have been talking about this for decades. And how easy it would be to fix. They don't fix it, therefore they don't want to fix it. Gang violence alone takes billions of dollars in enforcement and destruction. And that is almost exclusively non-white and Hispanic, especially in the Southwest. Now, Trump made the proper claim. He said, the Democrats have been using illegal aliens, and this is a quote from him, using illegal aliens to expand their voter base, cheat in elections, and grow the welfare state, robbing good-paying jobs and benefits from hardworking American citizens. These radical left Democrats are sick of mine, hate our country, and actually want to destroy our inner cities. They're doing a good job of it. Well, for my disagreement of Trump, that's absolutely true. The left does despise any kind of peace. They have always supported the rule of violent criminals. They themselves are violent criminals. These are revolutionaries. What revolution doesn't come except by force? And whatever force Trump has to use to permit ICE to engage in their efforts, well, that's fine. So California, for example, was set to receive billions in federal transportation funding from the 2021 bill, $40 billion over 5 years for their infrastructure, highways, bridges, airports, public transport, electric vehicle charging, safer streets, up until 2026. Well, they're not going to get this now. Between 2021 and 2024, they received $29 billion from the federal government for these kind of infrastructure projects. Well, if they're going to allow the destruction of infrastructure, they're not going to get any money. And if they refuse to follow the law, they're not going to get any of this. And they certainly have the power to do it, like Reagan did back in the 80s. Newsom, Governor Newsom, proposed a budget for 2026 that allowed for about $170 billion in federal funding. That's about a third of their total budget. That's how bad off they are. $135 billion of those go to Health and Human Services. And that's according to the California Budget and Policy Center. But as of, I know this goes back, but 2021, California received the second least federal aid. Only Vermont received less. Washington, D.C. and Montana were the top of the list. Three states and the District of Columbia received more than 30% of their total revenue from the federal government, according to the Census Bureau. But this is something that's been done before. It's a lever of power, and they have to use it. That means California's budget's going to be broken. Because they're making way for a huge, you know, $170 billion in their budget that's going to be coming into practice now. A huge grant for high-speed rail. By the way, all of these had, you know, multiple missed deadlines and cost overruns like everything else. And of course, it probably will never be completed. So they shouldn't get this money anyway. Now, I talked about the lower end of the immigration spectrum. I want to talk about the upper end. It's a very different story when you're dealing with Chinese or Indians, even just in day-to-day life, than when you're talking about, you know, Mexicans, you know, talking about Hector Salamanca. It's a totally different thing. So, on the upper end of the spectrum, college graduates who immigrated to the U.S. on student visas earn substantially more than their native-born, which probably is normally white, some Asian counterparts. This is from the Economic Innovation Group. The median salary for natural-born U.S. college graduates as of 2023 is $87,000. Now, that's I don't know how they came to that figure. It's extremely high. However, graduates who came to the U.S. on a student visa earned a median of $115,000. And, of course, India and China are the top of the list for foreign-born graduates. As of 2023, I think it's 372,000 and 303,000 working full-time in the U.S. So that's over a period of time. Indian graduates had a median income of 146,000. Chinese had 125,000, well above the median income of their native-born counterparts. Graduates who immigrate to the U.S. on a student visa are also more likely to work in jobs, research and development, or become entrepreneurs or something. The foreign-born graduates are twice as likely to hold a master's degree and six times likely to have a PhD compared to native-born. So the report says this: the dramatic expansion of the OPT program over the last decade is largely not a function of abuse, either by schools or students. Rather, it's a product of our own inability to expand other work visas and keep up with the demand or economic growth. The H-1B visa, for example, is now akin to recruitment roulette, where workers now face odds of winning a visa regardless of their skills or how much an employer is willing to pay them. Well, now that those numbers by themselves don't say anything. You have to break it down by sector, and you have to break it down first year, second year, third year. So at the same time, Trump did instruct American embassies in those countries to pause new interviews for student visas, giving them a greater screening process. The administration suspended Harvard's ability to admit foreign nationals. But after the trade talks in London, whenever that was, a few weeks ago, a month ago, he kind of backtracked on that under the new agreement. He came out and said, Trump says, look, I've always been in favor of students coming in from other countries. That includes China. We have 500,000 Chinese students coming in. I've been in favor of it. Does that mean you have to watch people? Yeah. You have to watch students, but you also have to watch other people too. Again, I'm not taking these numbers very seriously. The unemployment rate for those aged 20 to 24 at 6.6%, it's nonsense. It's infinitely higher than that. In much of Europe, that number, even the official number, is like 20%. They're even claiming the national average is 4%. But that's the Wall Street Journal. And the Wall Street Journal is just quoting from the Bureau of Labor Statistics. I think these figures are lies. However, they do point to certain trends, for better or for worse. So, you're dealing with the ICE agents with a 500% increase in assaults as they attempt to locate and arrest illegal aliens living in the U.S. I think Breitbart said that. ICE law enforcement is now facing a 500% increase in all kinds of assaults, bricks, whatever it is, carrying out enforcement options. They pointed to the recent arrest of Roberto Munoz, legal alien, convicted child sex offender, who dragged an ICE agent 50 yards in his car as he attempted to evade arrest in Bloomington, Minnesota. These guys put their lives on the line every single day, but they don't care. Democrats all over the place. House Minority Leader, the Hakeem Jeffries, stupid name, Boston Mayor, Michelle Wu, Minnesota Governor, Walz, the disgusting mayor, Karen Bass, for their constant threatening statements against ICE. Can you imagine if anyone else had stated that? They have to be, you know, and they Jeffries actually wanted to expose their identities so you could have riots against them in their private homes. In fact, Jeffries said, every single ICE agent who's engaged in this aggressive overreach and are trying to hide their identities from the American people will be unsuccessful in doing that. Every single one of them, no matter what it takes, no matter how long it takes, will be identified. Well, that makes him an enemy. That makes him a combatant, as far as I'm concerned. And of course, they need to be arrested for this. The Congressman Monica McIver, New Jersey, is indicted by a federal grand jury on charges that she forcibly tried to interfere with ICE agents. They were trying to arrest an illegal alien in Newark, New Jersey. Same thing, the U.S. Attorney's Office has not ruled out charging the New York City comptroller and actually a disgusting Jew, Brad Lander, for allegedly assaulting an ICE agent, interfering with the arrest of an illegal alien. That's how absolutely desperate they are to keep these people in the country. No one should be shocked that this is a violent matter. We need to do what we can to support the state in this regard. There's nothing wrong with that. So, this is the core of the left. Violence, criminality, the foreign-born. This is who they are. And they got this way from the Jewish press that has been operating on them for a very long time. People I just mentioned are disgusting human beings. They shouldn't have been elected to anything. If you want to try to compare immigration today to immigration in the 1920s, it is simply impossible because this is not the same country and it doesn't have the same people in it. Thank you, everyone, for listening. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.